At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Hey all, Peter Zine here, coming to you from Colorado, and very soon I will be coming to you live at noon Eastern. We're going to be doing what we call question time, where everyone who is a Patreon subscriber or analyst level will be able to submit live questions to try to stump me. I'll do my best to answer everything we can in the time that we've got. Hey all, Peter Zine here, coming to you from Colorado on a bright, sunny, hot morning. Whew, gonna hit 80 today, weird. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the newest thing out of the American Treasury Secretary, a guy by the name of Bessent, and he says that it is time to reevaluate the Federal Reserve as an institution, specifically noting that it has failed in many of its mandates and he doesn't know what they're doing over there. A lot of this is just normal Trumpian exaggeration and putting the fault on other people when there is a lack of policy in the White House. There's two sides to this, one that is really, really dumb and one of them that actually merits evaluation. So let's start with the one that's dumb because that's what everybody is talking about already. The Federal Reserve is the monetary authority for the United States. It determines the cost of capital within the American system at the government level, determining what interest rates are going to be, and then the market takes its cues from that, folding its own stuff into the situation. Donald Trump is now on record multiple times saying that he wants to dismiss the Federal Reserve chair and put somebody who's more pliable for his policy preferences in the place. And he says he wants interest rates to go down to 1%. This is a very Turkish, Argentinian, Venezuelan, Zimbabwean approach to monetary policy. The idea that the government wants to spike growth in the short term in order to generate more political support and to hell with the long term because that's somebody else's problem. Every country that has ever done anything like this will get growth, and then you will artificially spike inflation and you will lead to a decade or more of malaise and either high inflation, low growth, or both. And considering the stage of the United States in this part of the cycle, it would probably be both. But by the time we get to the other side of that, Trump is no longer president, and that is literally somebody else's problem. One of the reasons why the United States is the global superpower is going back to the formation of the Federal Reserve back in 1913, is we've treated inflation as something that is a bigger threat than a lack of growth. And so as the Federal Reserve's charter, as established by Congress, as built it, basically says that you try to keep inflation low, and if that means growth is lower, that's fine, but that way you don't inflate away the value of everyone's assets. Because if you have a long period of inflation, not only does that kill purchasing power, it erodes the value of all of your assets, whether they're financial, physical, or otherwise, and generates a lot more long-term problems that are a lot more difficult to solve. So most of what the World Bank and International Monetary Fund have done over the last 50 years is try to convince the countries that they're helping out that you have to keep the cost of capital relatively high so it's treated as an economic good. Because if you keep it low and treat it as a political good, people will splash it onto everything and it throws everything out of whack. And this, at its core, is one of the, like, 17 reasons why China is going to collapse in the next few years. They've treated capital as something that can be politically dictated instead of driven by supply and demand mechanics. So overall, really bad idea. Why? I think we should talk about it anyway. The world is changing. The model's shifting. We're moving into a deglobalized world where the globalized world of, say, manufacturers or energy or agriculture are breaking down, and we're moving into a world where it's more regional, even more national. And in that sort of environment, we need to build a lot of things. Physical infrastructure, industrial plant, processing capacity, those are the big three. Power grid, if you want a fourth one. All of this costs money. And if we follow a normal model that is responsible, it is not clear to me we will be able to get there. That's problem one. Problem two is demographic. For the first time in human history in the advanced world, and I'm actually lumping in a lot of the advanced industrializing world like China in with this, we now have more people in their 60s and their 50s and their 40s and their 30s and their 20s and their teens than children. And that is changing the balance of what is possible financially. Most financial strength, most private capital comes from people as they're approaching retirement. Their expenses have gone down because their houses have been paid for and their kids have moved out, and they're preparing for retirement, and they're at the height of their earning experience. So high incomes, low expenses tends to generate a lot of fiscal wherewithal, and that one decade of your life is when you generate the most capital. Well, in the period from 2025 to 2035 was always, we've known this for decades, going to be the period where the bulk of the people who were in that last 10-year group go into mass retirement, and birth rates have been so low for so long, the replacement generation that's coming into that 10-year block is insufficient. So we've always known that this was about the window when the rules of the game are going to change and we enter a period of prolonged capital shortage. What we've seen with capital costs in the United States, roughly the quadrupling to quintupling since 2000, it's not because of things that the Federal Reserve has done. It's not been because of the spendthrift policies of the Trump administration or the Biden administration. It's simply America's boomers, our largest generation ever, aging out of that 55 to 65 year block and into mass retirement. Already two-thirds are retired. And when you retire, you tend to shift your holdings into more conservative assets. So your stock and your bond markets tend to get liquidated and you go into things like T-bills and cash and property. That's now happening on a global basis, which means that the balance among supply and demand and capital and labor is in the process of going through the greatest shift since at least the Columbus expeditions. And the idea that the economic models that we know and understand, capitalism, fascism, European-style socialism, the idea that those are still going to work on the other side when the balance of inputs has all changed is kind of silly. So we need to try something new. And that means that the mandate for our monetary authorities, such as the Federal Reserve, are going to have to evolve. So having this conversation before we hit a crunch point, I think, is a great idea. But the people who seem to want to lead that conversation are only interested in cheap credit for political reasons. And that's a really bad starting place for all of this. Downright Chavista from Venezuela. So the question is whether or not there are enough people left in Congress, which is where this change would have to be adapted, to lead a conversation that is more talking about the future and the mechanics of how the world is going to be, rather than just worried about the two-year election cycle. Color me dubious. Anyone who signs up for the analyst here between now and the actual event on the 30th, every dime that I would normally get from those subscriptions is going to MedShare, which is a charity that provides medical assistance to communities who, through no fault of their own, have been unable to look out for themselves. So, for example, if the Russians are bombing your power grid, the MedShare Alliance will step in and help hospitals with surgical kits and fuel and generators to keep operating. So, sign up now. We've got the QR code and the link right within this video.